We'll go ahead and get started. Today is November 10th, 2024. The speaker is Forrest Cottrell. And the topic today is what Ron said, the forgotten holiday, Thanksgiving. What that means to us. So let's go ahead in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we do have saints that can come together and study your word. Even though we're not in the same room, we can be one mind and we can be one spirit because we have your word in our hands. And Lord, we just ask that you would give us wisdom and understanding, that our eyes would be enlightened to the truth within your word, and that we would then live that and walk worthy of that throughout the day, the week, the month, and the years to come. And Lord, we are thankful for the outcome of the election, but I am certainly thankful that we are moving towards a more conservative administration where some of these ridiculous things have been allowed, the open border, abortion, etc. And now we are at a point where we can correct some of those things and hopefully become one nation under you, Lord, one God, and that by doing so, you will bless this nation. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So based on that prayer, if a bunch of you jump off, we'll know how you voted. That was a joke. Alan and I were joking about that earlier this morning. it's interesting to me that people are willing to leave the country instead of trying to fix it. But that's who they are. So today's topic, Thanksgiving, the purpose is to become more thankful for what I have and not be anxious for what I don't have. Using Paul's exhortation to be thankful and realize the different areas of our life or my life that Paul instructs us to be thankful. And you know, why this? Well, obviously, given the timing, we have Thanksgiving coming up. You know, Ron mentioned that it was the forgotten holiday in between Halloween and Christmas. And it just seems that there's so many people out there that are not thankful. Just this past couple of weeks, I've run into individuals that said, boy, I just need to be more grateful for what I have. And reminded me that I need to be more grateful for what I have. Kathleen introduced a concept of a miracle jar, where we write down things that have happened to us that we're thankful for, that were positive, that were just like out of the blue in some cases, or something that we've prayed about and it actually happens. And I've been kind of remiss at putting things in there. And so again, this morning, I put four more things that has happened this past week that I look back on and say, I cannot believe that these have happened and that the Lord has allowed it and, in fact, facilitated it. So I needed to be reminded again of being grateful. And though I've done this study in the past, if you're like me, it's something that we need to be reminded of on a regular basis. And I'm reminded of Paul in Philippians, who wrote in 4:12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I thought about that word abased, and the end of the verse says both to abound and suffer need. So does abased mean suffer need? Well, it does to a degree, but it also has other meanings. It means to have need or needy. It means to be humbled. It means to be shamed, disgraced, discredited, and embarrassed. And I thought, wow, you know, there's been times when I've been abased, and yet this gives me new meaning of other times when I've been abased, and I didn't realize that I was being abased at the time. But I was talking with an individual earlier this week, and he was kind of saying, yeah, well, you know, you got it easy. I'm had this position, and I don't get any respect. I don't get the money that I should. I've got family members that are not Christians, and they are wealthy beyond, you know, all get out. And here I am with a, you know, 20-year-old car, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I've got an older car too, and it just still runs, so I'm okay. So have I been abased? And I've been through a hurricane. I've been through a tornado. Been through fires, earthquakes, termites, ants, scorpions. I've been accused of discrimination, falsely, by the way. I was fired without cause, and I was falsely accused by individuals that were just trying to get their own agenda forwarded, because HR departments today, all you have to do is smile wrong, and they'll make up something. So I know how to be abased. I've been embarrassed. My reputation has been jeopardized, and I have been humbled as a result. And so how do you be thankful? How do you say, God, thank you that I've been embarrassed? Thank you that I've been humbled. Thank you that I'm shamed. Thankful that I was completely disgraced and discredited. Well, God gives us those situations to test us, I believe, to see if we will still be faithful. I think the book of Job is all about that. He was a righteous man that Satan went after, and God gave him the ability to touch him, except for his life and his family, who he killed 10 of his children, destroyed everything that he owned. But he was rewarded in the end. Now, I don't expect to be like Job, and I don't expect to be rewarded in the end, but I have many things that I can be thankful for. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to the verse that we just read, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, not just when things are good. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. We need to show others around us that we are thankful. He goes on to say, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so this is something that I've learned through the process, is that I have to think on the things that are honest, of good report, of virtue, etc. When I think on these things, I can be thankful. Don't focus on the negative. Don't focus on the glass being half empty, my wife reminds me. But instead, focus on the things that are good, things that are lovely. Let's take a look back at the Old Testament and see where this comes from at the beginning. In Leviticus chapter 7, verse 12, and I'm going to read through verse 17, or verse 11 through 17. It says, and this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, cakes mingled with oil, of fine flour, fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it, he shall offer one out of the whole oblation of a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkles the blood of the peace offering and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day which he offers his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten, but the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. This is where we get our celebration of Thanksgiving. We gorge ourselves on the day it's prepared, right? Everybody eats it. You know, I'm looking for leftovers. There aren't any. We have all of our friends and neighbors and family over, and they consume everything. Well, the word thanksgiving here has to do with adoration. It has to do with a choir of worshipers, and it's the word tada. And it has to do with praise or a thanksgiving, thanks offering. And I found that frequently when thanksgiving is offered, it has to do with singing and music, as we'll see as we continue. 2 Samuel 22, verse 47 through 51. The Lord liveth and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. Thanks and singing go together. He is a tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his appointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore. So I'm not the seed of David that I'm aware of, but I know that God has in fact shown mercy to me and allowed me to excel above those who were trying to discredit me, embarrass me, etc. That the Lord fought for me. He stood up for me. He rose up and he lifted me up as a result. The word here for thanks is yada, and it has to do with worship and revering and praise being thankful or thanksgiving. So we see it used in conjunction with singing. Again in 2 Samuel chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. And the king said unto Joab, Behold, now I have done this thing. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom again. And Job fell on the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Job said to the Today thy servant knoweth that I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, O king, in that the king hath fulfilled the request of his servant. So the story here is Absalom rebelled against David. And when he did, and David was brought back as king, and Absalom was therefore house arrested. If you would have nothing to do with him and wouldn't go to him. And Job said, look, bring him before you. You need to forward. And when Job's petition of David was responded to by David, he thanked the king. And it reminds me of this last part, in that the king hath fulfilled the request of his servant. How many prayers have I made that were fulfilled, and I went along my merry way, but forgot to say thank you, Lord, for fulfilling that request. And he doesn't fulfill them all, because he answers yes, no, and not now. And so sometimes those prayers get left behind. But, you know, he answered my prayer about this election. And I was overjoyed with the results when I woke up in the morning. Did I remind myself to thank him and to sing his praises as a result? The word there is brach, and it means to praise or salute or congratulate, and it means to abundantly praise. In 1 Chronicles 16:7, it says, "Then on that day, David delivered first his psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations." All right, this wasn't written to us as Gentiles, as where there is no Jew or Gentile. But it's an example that we are to give thanks and that we are to let others know of what he's done, his marvelous works, his wonders. That's what the miracle jar is about. We write down what has happened to us that we've prayed about or the Lord has given us, and we praise him for it, but we write it down so that at the end of the year we can sit around and we can read and recap all the wondrous works that he has done in our lives. Psalm 95:2, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." There it is again, joyful noise. Now, my singing is not a joyful noise. I have volume. I don't have any other aspect of good making joyful noise. I get players' attention. That's volume. That's not a quality of song, believe me. In Psalms 104, verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and unto his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." His mercy is everlasting. Are we thankful for the mercy that he shows us because it endures forever? Let's take a look at the New Testament, starting in Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 26. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." So this is the opposite. This is being unthankful. "But they were not thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." What does that sound like in our political world? "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them over unto their vile affections." I think that's where we've been the last 4 years. I'm hopeful that the next 4 years will change that. We'll reverse some things. Just today, they announced that many are beginning to realize that men should not be in women's sports. That was the whole idea between Title IX back in 1972, that women would be given equal opportunity, and it is not to be slammed by a man because he imagines himself as a woman. 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How does that happen? It happens through the word. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Are we thankful for those things that are eternal, or are we only thankful for the things that are temporal? You get a really nice cold glass of water on a hot day. You're thankful for a moment. But that water may have saved your life by dying of dehydration. So we need to be thankful for the long term, not just the short term. In Ephesians 5:16, it says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's Eucharistu. It means to be grateful, to express gratitude. It is something that is used when saying grace at a meal, but it means to give thanks or be thankful. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Talk about something eternal. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, not our king, the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Let me read that again. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us, therefore, as sinners, should be thankful that we're reconciled and that we are now unblameable. When we think about the word abased, it's being blamed for something, and in many cases that we didn't do. In some cases that we did do. Some cases that we should be blamed for. But we are unblameable and unreprovable in his sight because we have been reconciled. And why? Because of the fullness that he created when he gave himself on the cross. And when he died and was resurrected, that pleroma, that fullness, that filling up, it completed everything. No more ordinances, no more rituals, no more dondes. We have a completely satiated God, and we are unblameable and unreprovable. Colossians 2. 7 through 14. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness. And ye are complete, completely filled up in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Have we gotten down on our knees and thanked God that he pulled us out of that miry clay? That we are complete in him. We need nothing else. He is sufficient for us. Have we truly thanked him for all that he did? And do we thank him daily? Colossians 3:14 through 16. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing praises. Making a joyful noise. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Are we thankful that we have the word, and that we can use that word to be able to convince a gainsayer who may be contrary to us, who may have a different perspective, and not getting angry with them, but with thanksgiving, help them understand the mystery? And are we thankful that we know the mystery? Are we thankful that God has revealed to us a method of studying called right division that allows us then to understand really the purpose of God? Just a couple more here. 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who have enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I underline that. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which would hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. How wonderful it is that we have a King eternal, a God in the heaven above heavens, the only wise God, where glory resides, where we can stand and thank him and glorify him publicly when the opportunity expresses itself. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And so we know that turkeys, when sanctified by the word and prayer, shouldn't be refused. My son makes a turducken, which is a duck chicken put inside a turkey. So you have all three. Never would have thought of it. They swear by it. He deep fries it. It's delicious. So I receive it with thanksgiving. I'm going to leave you with one last verse, Philippians 1:3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. With that, I say happy Thanksgiving. May God bless every one of you and your families. Thank you for being here to share the word together. And I do thank God for every remembrance of each of you. And while we may only get together through our voices, through technology, we may get together at a conference from time to time, so we're not with each other on a daily or weekly basis, but I do thank you. Thank each one of you. And I thank Tony and Chico and Chip and Ron for posting, for allowing people in the room and keeping people out of the room that shouldn't be. But I just want to do one last summary here. How many things should we be thankful for? Well, there are 33 things that I just identified to you. We're thankful for peace, for the rock of salvation, for avenging me, for bringing me forth from mine enemies, for delivering me from the violent man, for being the tower of salvation, for showing mercy, remembering his marvelous works, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generation, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for our light affliction, for all things unto God, partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, delivering us from the power of darkness, translating us into the kingdom of his dear Son, redeeming us through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. We are complete in him, risen with him through the faith, forgiven all our trespasses, blotting out all the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, for the peace of God, for the mystery of Christ. Know how we ought to answer every man, because we know the word hath enabled me or empowered, counted me faithful, put me in the ministry. I obtained mercy, and every creature of God is good, maybe even to eat. And I am thankful for each of you. Let me close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for you, for your word, for your Son, for your Holy Spirit. We are thankful for these saints that are here, that they may better know you, and in that process draw near to you, and therefore become more thankful for all the things that you have done for us. We say this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.